As our children make their way back to their seats, will you bow with me as we pray before we hear this morning's scripture? Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us through your word, guide us into the love of God for his creation, for his people, for his world. Amen. Michelle's going to come this morning and read this morning's scripture. If you have your Bibles, if you'll begin turning to Philippians chapter 3, we'll read verses 2 through 11.
Sorry. Good morning. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Michelle. When you were growing up, who were the people that your parents warned you about? It may have been a group of people. It may have been a particular family, or it may have been a specific person. You may have been warned about them because of assumptions made about who they were and what they did. You may be warned about them because countless reasons. When I was growing up, when I was still pretty young My younger brother was not even quite a year old, there was a story that hit the news about Adam Walsh. Some of y'all remember Adam Walsh? Adam Walsh was a six-year-old boy in 1981. He had gone to the mall with his mom. It kind of dates the story, doesn't it? Went to the mall with his mom. Mom was shopping. Adam got a little restless, so Mom let him go a couple of aisles over to the toy section, to the video games, and let him spend some time looking at things over there while she finished up. Well, when she was finished, she went over to find Adam, and Adam was not there. They began to look through the store. Adam was not there. They looked through the mall. Adam was not there. Adam had been kidnapped, and 2 weeks later, two fishermen found his head where they were fishing. His dad went on, John Walsh, to become an advocate and a supporter of other families who had had their child kidnapped. But when I was growing up, Mom would tell me and my younger brother, don't take candy from strangers. Don't go with people you don't know. Don't get in cars of people you don't know. Don't help people you don't know find their lost puppy or look for their child because of these kidnappers that are out there that will do bad things to you. And the story I got was there are people out in the world who are looking to hurt and harm innocent people. I'm sure a lot of parents, my parents' age, had a very similar conversation with their kids, not wanting their kid to be one of those that ends up taken, lost, harmed in any way. Paul is writing to a church, and he's done this several times. He's talking to a church about warning them that there are people out there that are seeking to harm them physically or spiritually, and they don't have the best interest of individuals, families, or churches at heart. They're seeking to teach a different gospel from what Paul was teaching, and that gospel would not lead them to the salvation found through God. It led them into anything and everything but salvation. Last week I tried to make the distinction between of what I think Paul was trying to get at was being dedicated as a disciple of Jesus Christ and just kind of dabbling as a disciple of Jesus. Those who are dedicated, everything they do is to reach the goal that they have set before them. They make changes in their lives. They do things so that they can reach this goal. Those who dabble, they may try to do some of the things that will help them become a disciple. They may do some of the things that help them along the way, but if they end up where they want to be, if they meet their goal, it's more out of luck than it is out of dedication. We talked about track runners that, you know, they do all these different things, not because they necessarily enjoy those workouts or those drills, but they do them because they know it's going to help them reach their goal of standing on the podium with a medal. Some of the things that we do as followers of Christ, some of the drills, some of the workouts that we do, prayer, reading scripture, taking communion together, even fasting from things that are not good for us as disciples of Jesus, fellowship of gathering together for support and encouragement in those times when we need the body of Christ. And I would add to those things, we also need to know what we believe as well as why we believe it, because there are those who would teach something besides the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it sounds real similar. It sounds like the gospel, but it's not. There are those who are out there looking to do harm, looking to hurt the body of Christ, and so they preach a different gospel that leads us away from God instead of to God. And so Paul, in most of his letters, says, remember what I taught you. These are the things that I said will lead you to Christ. And remember how I lived when I was among you. Be like me in the way that I lived so that you can find your way to Christ. Now, I don't think he was necessarily writing those words to those who are dedicated, because I think he was worried about those who are dabbling in the faith. Those who were dedicated had made changes in their lives, and people knew that they were different. But there were those who were just dabbling, and so they still looked like their old self while trying to be something different, while trying to believe in and be part of something different. And he wanted them to realize you can't still be your old self while being a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. There were those who were just trying to get by. They wanted the best of both worlds, and they got not the best of either. They would remember pieces of what Paul had said, things that Paul had taught, the way Paul had lived his life, but then they heard all these other things. And it seemed right. It sounded similar to what Paul said. And so they tried to bring these two things together, to unite these two things together that can't be united. And there was this tension within their faith that they were trying to live with and they couldn't because of these two incompatible things. The gospel of Jesus Christ and any other gospel. He warns this church in Philippi about, and he uses a very derogative term, these dogs. In our time, a lot of us have pets that are dogs. In Paul's day, they weren't pets. They were a nuisance. They were wild. They would enter into a community and they would cause problems. And that's what he was referring to, these people who would come into a community and try to teach something different, try to teach a different gospel that would lead people away from Jesus into something else, that would lead them from freedom in Christ to bondage and sin. Be aware of those. And in our own day, we need to be aware, but that there are some who would preach a different gospel. Even calling themselves a church, they would preach a different gospel that leads us away from salvation in Christ to more of a works-type salvation, where if I'm just good enough, if I read my Bible X amount of times, if I pray this many times, if I take communion this many times, if I show up to this many Bible studies or prayer groups, or if I just do all these things, then I have to make it into heaven. And that's not the way it works. Salvation is a free gift given to us that we have to receive from Him. We can't earn it. But these other gospels try to get us to earn it. He warned of evildoers who, as he talked about earlier in this letter, that there were those who were preaching about Jesus, but they weren't doing it for the right reasons. They were doing it for the wrong reasons. They were doing it in a way that they were trying to hurt Paul, hurt his ministry, instead of being about what God wanted and preaching Jesus for the salvation of others. And then he talks about those who are mutilating the flesh, those who were Jews who were coming into this community and would tell them, Paul's given you the first part, let's give you the second part. You can believe in Jesus all you want, but then you've got to become a Jew, you've got to be circumcised, you have to follow the law. And Paul says, they're just mutilators of the flesh. They're doing something to themselves, thinking that that's going to be what saves them instead of the work of Jesus Christ. In our own day, there are those who would say that if you don't do this, or if you haven't been a part of this, you can't really be saved. And it makes us into doing things, working for our salvation instead of receiving that free gift. Baptism isn't what gets us into heaven. It's receiving the free gift of Jesus. It's not a granny that has been faithful to the church that because of her faith we get a free pass in. We have to accept the free gift of Jesus. It's not being here 365 days a year or 52 Sundays a year, or we have to receive the gift of Christ. And then out of that gift, we live a different life. Not earning it, but because we've been given it, we're different. We've been changed. We've been transformed. And I think Paul's also trying to get them to realize there's dabbling, but there's also being dedicated to the wrong thing. And Paul talks about it. If anyone was to be fully dedicated to the wrong thing, Paul says it was him. I was a Hebrew among Hebrews. I was a Jew's Jew. I was the Israelite's Israelite. Circumcised when I was supposed to be circumcised. I was born of the right family in the right tribe. I can trace my heritage all the way back to Egypt. Well, even before Egypt. As for being dedicated, he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee's Pharisee. He wanted to make sure that no one sinned. And if they did sin, he wanted to make sure he knew who it was, because by them sinning, they prevented the Messiah from coming in their own mind. And so he took it upon himself to root out those who were sinning, those who were doing things that would not bring about Messiah. And the Pharisees knew that this Jesus guy couldn't be the Messiah because the Romans killed him. And so if they were preaching Jesus was Messiah, they were this heretical group that were preventing the actual Messiah from coming. So he persecuted them. He did everything he could to earn his salvation. And then he says, all these things that I should be able to brag about is all a loss. It didn't get me anywhere. It didn't get me salvation. It didn't get me a place in heaven. It didn't do anything for me because I didn't have Christ. And now that I have Christ, all this stuff is a loss. All this stuff doesn't matter because my goal is to be of service to God now and to be with God later. Is that our goal? To be of service to God now and to be with God later. It was all a loss. It was all things that took him away from God instead of bringing him to God. And he says this at the very end of the passage that we read today. I want to know Christ. I lost my place, sorry. There it is. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Do we want to know Christ? Do we want to know his resurrection power? Or do we just want to be good little Christians, dabbling with faith, hoping that somewhere along the way we'll earn our place into heaven? Or do we want to know Christ and that power that changed Paul, that changed countless people in the book of Acts, that have changed countless people throughout the century since then, that changed their life from a before to an after, where there was the power of Christ in their life. There was a change in their life that brought about something different. As Paul would gather these Christians together, and he would teach them about Jesus, he would teach them about God, he would teach them about faith and how to live it out in their daily lives. That's a lot of what we do when we gather together, is learn about God, learn about Jesus, learn about how to live this out in our daily lives. When we gather here together, we're practicing. We're worshiping. We gather together, and one of the first things we normally say is, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's not that we say that because this is Sunday. We say that because this day is the day that the Lord has made. When we get up tomorrow morning, maybe we should be saying, dear Lord, it's Monday. This is the day that you made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Tuesday morning, this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is the day. And if this is the day that the Lord has made, this is a good day. Even if it's a Monday, this is a good day. And if it's a good day, what can we do with this goodness that God has given us? How can we use this day and rejoice and be glad in it? When we gather together and we pray together, we pray individually, we pray together, we begin to see how God is moving in us as his people, as well as in us as his church, us as a community. We pray because we believe God will do things. And we're reminded of who God is. We're reminded that He is the Creator, He is the Sustainer, He is the Redeemer. We are reminded of who we are as His people. And we remind God, we remember these things. And we praise You that You didn't just create us and then send us off to be about our own activities, be about our own things, but You created us and then You've remained involved in our lives. You've remained involved in Your creation, trying to bring us back to that place where You intend us to be. And so we practice so that when we go out into the world, we can be doing these things to make a difference in the lives of others. Not to earn our salvation, but to help others see Christ in us. To know Him so that others may know Him. Paul warns his church, those that he loves. He encourages them to be the hands and feet of God, to make a difference in the lives of others, because they've experienced that in their own lives. And he wants them to know Christ. Where are we? Do we need to hear that warning from Paul that there are some things, there are some people, there are some groups out there who do not want the best for our souls? Some want the best for their pocketbooks. Some want the best for their popularity. Some want the best for their authority. Do we need to hear the words of Paul? Be careful about the dogs that only do harm. The evildoers who are trying to take you away from Christ. Those who would kidnap us and do harm to us. That would take us away from the family of God. Do we need to be reminded that our goal is to be of service to Christ and to be with Him when He comes back? And that we should be longing to know God and that power that He has to change us and transform us to be more and more like His Son, Jesus. Where are we? And where is God calling us to be? Let us pray. Give us eyes to see, Father God, those places where we are dedicated to You, where we are following faithfully, but give us eyes to see also where we have been misled by those who are preaching another gospel. Give us courage to follow You faithfully, even when those around us are uncomfortable by the power of Your resurrection in our lives. May we know You faithfully. May we know You fully. May we know You so that in our lives You work. You transform us. You bring a revival among us that helps us to be more and more like Jesus. Work in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.